The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Another hellaciously busy day for a lot of you out there, and certainly me here, and a lot of people in Las Vegas, trying to put this story together. But meanwhile, Las Vegas, of course, where business is everything, this is bad for business. They want this to go away. That's why, one of the reasons why, they are pushing so hard to continue to maintain that Lee Harvey Paddock is the only one involved. It's totally ridiculous. It can't happen. It didn't happen. And I'm putting up another story here in a little while that I put together to help open some more avenues of inquiry. A lot of pictures and stuff. We'll be doing that as well. But it's absurd. This was a very well-coordinated, extremely well-planned, major operation by the CIA, ISIS, radical Islam, with a helping hand from the Mossad, and I'm putting it mildly. They're always involved. There were multiple shooters. We know that there were shooters apparently at the New York Hotel. The Bellagio had the front glass blown out with automatic or semi-automatic weapons fire the same time that the big shooting was going on with so many people dead and wounded. So we have three shootings going on the same night. This is, as I say, a major operation, and I think it was supposed to be far worse than it was. It's just not a pretty sight. So there's much more to come. Don't buy into the single shooter thing. It's ludicrous, completely ludicrous. We'll get there, though. We're working on it. David Duke is with us tonight, this first hour. David, of course, a remarkable man, needs no introduction. And welcome back, David. We have a lot to talk about. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm, you know, pretty upset and saddened by this terrible massacre of almost entirely European Americans. The only non-European Americans, apparently, who were injured or harmed were those that were working there. Our security people with the police department, that type of thing, who were damaged. But this was a massacre of basically Trump supporters, or the middle class, white, working Americans and others who were there celebrating their culture, what they feel like one of the few refuges they have, really,
right,
in a
sure
cultural,
oh, absolutely,
disgusting,
yeah,
society at a country and western concert. And there's no way, you know, as far as the facts will hopefully unravel about all the different aspects and who, where, and what the other shooters were, or if there were other shooters or whatever. But one thing we do know is that the way you judge the motive in an event like this is the way you judge is by who the victims are. It's the same principle that a police report uses when a person's murdered, who got murdered and why. And we it's absolute fact that this is obviously a racially, whoever was behind it, we don't know yet the details. We just, there's no way to do that. These kind of the surreptitious operations are obviously done in secrecy. We have a government, though, that within hours of this event said specifically it wasn't a terrorist action, or that there's no evidence it was a terrorist action. Well, obviously, there's no way you can know whether it was a terrorist action are connected with foreign terrorism or any other kind of terrorism in a couple hours. It's impossible to know, even before they went to the man's house. And there's a lot of conflicting evidence about what was found in the house. One thing we do know, the guy was not a conservative by any means. He had no association with any groups on the right. And he was a registered Democrat from West Palm Beach, Florida. And there's a very possible scenario. He was very similar to the Bernie Sanders supporter, essentially the Marxist who attacked Steve Scalise and the congressman in Washington, D.C. at the baseball game.
That's right.
Which would have been a massive, bigger massacre, except for the fact that there were a couple of police officers on the scene right there, because those congressmen were totally defenseless in that dugout. They could all have been shot. But, and we don't, you know, we do know that the targets were European Americans. And I do believe, and if you see what's going on with the NFL, over the weekend we had a situation, we had a white quarterback purposefully given up, targeted, and harmed and hurt.
They could have
by
ended
his
career. They could. Who knows what could have happened? That's right.
Because he didn't take a knee. This is something a lot of people in America have talked about for years and years. And I remember as a young man reading about the foundations of the NAACP, which is started by overwhelmingly Jewish Zionist communists and one communist black guy, W. Du Bois. And I read many of the radical communist publications. I had them sent to me. In fact, I wanted to find out what they were saying, and they had these big pictures of cities burning with black people with, you know, torches basically over the city, almost like a what's the monkey movie, the King Kong.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Burning the cities down.
Called the monkey movie for a long time, do you? Yeah.
Well, King Kong, whatever. But the idea was, and these communists, these open Jewish communists talked about openly that they couldn't get the working and the farmers and the workers of America, the white workers, to go along with their communist program, even though we had Jewish communists running a lot of the unions, and of course they'd never been working people anyway, but they couldn't get these people to communism. So they said, well, we have an opportunity to use African Americans and non-European Americans as a battering ram, so to speak, as a revolutionary force to overthrow the country. And they've been creating this climate of racial hatred against white people and self-hate against white people for the last, well, for the last 100 years of this nation. That's just a fact of the matter. And we're seeing that. And we're seeing that there is a war going on against European American, Christian European American, the American people, our traditions, our forefathers, not even just Robert E. Lee, great Americans, who all Americans, North and South, recognize. Robert E. Lee's statue and Jefferson Davis,
head
of the Confederacy, his statue was put up in the Hall of Heroes of the United States Congress, because both Northerners, Westerners, and Southerners recognized this was a man of honor and decency and principle. He was not a traitor. They were actually in the South doing the same thing, the same principles that America was founded upon, the idea that every people has a right to determine their own government. Well, now there's a war not just against the Southerners and the people that we revere down here in the South, but there's a war against Thomas Jefferson, against George Washington, against Andrew Jackson. There is constant hatred, even in the mainstream Hollywood Jewish movies like the Spider-Man movie. They dissed Washington, you know, the father of our country, the man whose courage and incredible sacrifice, gave us the United States. In the Spider-Man movie, the mixed race high school goes to the Washington Monument. And it was very sympathetically put that this black girl didn't want to go in the monument because George Washington was a disgusting slaveholder. There is a war going on against this. There is massive crime. The disproportionate crime in this country is blacks attacking white people. There's 27 times more likelihood of a black person to rob, rape, murder, assault a white victim than a white person is to do a black victim. There are 25 to 35,000 white women a year, innocent women, raped by black males in this country, according to the National Crime Survey. And there's nothing in the media. There's nothing about this. Instead, they throw a few black thugs, and they talk about them being shot down by police and how all white people are responsible for this, for racism. What we have right now is a divide-and-conquer strategy by these Jewish extremists, and I think that they have decided to go toward the Bolshevik model of just violent revolution and ultimately just total suppression. I can see, I hate to be alarmist, you know, but I can see the gulags around the corner. They are repressing freedom of speech. We have Antifa, which is an absolute communist organization, attacking people of the United States. Talk about a domestic terrorist organization. Even the federal government was recognizing it as such.
Right.
And then you had the European Americans who defend our culture, the alt-right today, these very brave young people who went out. They fought for the right to have a meeting, to have a gathering. They don't go to these anti-FA communist meetings, try to break that up. They were viciously attacked brutally by these anti-FA communists and other communists. And then the Congress of the United States condemned them, the white people, not the black and the radical leftist and Jewish attackers. They condemned the white people going there to say, hey, we love our heritage, we want to defend it, and we want to defend freedom of speech in America. We have the beginnings of a race war in this country. And I really believe that the Las Vegas thing was really part of this process, and that there's more than meets the eye about this whole event, which was so horrendous. I mean, it was a massacre, Jeff. I mean, we had 550 people wounded. We had around 60 dead. There's a lot of people going to be crippled, a lot of people who are probably going to be dying and their lives shortened from this very abruptly by this attack. And we have a media that's totally covering up the relevant parts of this thing, and the misdirection is just amazing because we have such a controlled fake news media, as Trump always says.
Yeah, well, who's going to argue that? It is fake news. I mean, how more fake can it get? They continue to try to button this massacre, this genocide against Christian white Americans, which is what it is, a terrorist genocide against Christian white American, European Americans. And they're not going to get away with it. I'm not going to let them. I don't think anybody who cares about this is going to let them. There are too many holes in this story. It's absurd. Paddock is a patsy. He was supposedly able to fire off nearly 4,000 rounds in 9 minutes of total shooting time. That's start and stop from the beginning. They did stop the shots many times during that 9 minutes. So I think there's about 4 minutes of total actual shooting time. At any rate, let's call it 4,000 rounds of ammunition. There are pictures of the inside of the suite, and that was a comped suite. He didn't pay for that. He's a high roller. The hotel gave it to him. And on the floor are very few shell casings. Now, there was an adjoining door to the room next to it, adjoining room with a door. Okay. That suite had an extra room. You can go through a door and get to it if you pay for it, or if they give it to you, or if you need it. Maybe that other room had the other broken window, and maybe there's a mountain of brass casings in there. Otherwise, there are very few to be seen. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you another thing. They describe these pictures of the inside of the suite with the dead body of the patsy laying there as being leaked. What policeman is going to gain access to that room with a very elite group in the beginning, take a bunch of pictures at 72 DPI with his smartphone, and leak them to the media and expect to have a job the next morning? It ain't going to happen. Those leaked pictures were done intentionally to try to button this up. People see, monkey do. People see dead body. People see the lone gunman. It's tied up. It's closure. It's over. They can begin to file it away. They don't want openness. They want closure. So now all the videos showing muzzle flashes on the fourth and fifth floor, with obviously different guns at different locations. You listen to the sound. You cannot possibly mistake it. Some are near, some are further away. Now the Bellagio stories are out. I've got two videos on that. Somebody or some group of people went up to the Bellagio Hotel, which is quite a ways down the strip. Well, it's too far for rifle range, and blasted the front entrance and blew out the glass. The whole Bellagio guest contingent was put on the floor. They had to sit still, blah, blah, blah. There was also a report that the New York Hotel had a gunman in there shooting at some point, maybe just trying to scare people. But this was a very sophisticated, coordinated operation. We're not going to let them say, oh, the shooter's dead, close it up, end of story. It's not going to work that way.
Right, and as facts begin to unravel here, we have to understand this is very early in this thing.
That's right.
The guy up in the hotel on the 31st, he may have been involved in it as well. I mean, because you have to understand, there's been a very decided climate of vicious hatred against European Americans, and again, you got to look at the target. And the guy that shot the congressman in Washington, D.C., he was right. Motivated. He was a Bernie Sanders supporter, a supporter Democrat. He was very motivated about this. And by the way, I've been reading the leftist publications and media, and you should see how that basically they're even blaming this vicious attack where white Christians were mowed down by this maniac and God knows who others were involved in it. That the Christians were mowed down by this guy, so they're blaming white people for it. It's the fault of white people. This shows you how evil white
right.
people are.
Right.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
First of all, David, another thing. You know rifles. You've shot rifles. Most of you listening have shot rifles on the range here and there.
Yeah.
You know how far 400 yards away is? That's a long way for a rifle. That's the distance between the 32nd floor and the concert grounds where all the 20,000 people were packed in. 400 yards. So he had telescopic rifles in there with bolt actions. What's he think he's going to do? See, this is crazy. They overdressed the scene. They put too many rifles in there. Now, let me tell you a couple other things. I worked in Las Vegas for almost 3 years as the anchorman news director of the ABC television station there. I got to know how that town thinks, how it works. I knew a lot of very important, big, powerful people there in the hotels. The worst thing for that town is bad publicity. They don't sure. want this. They want this to go away. I
of
understand
course they do.
That. Yeah. Now, I have a source. I have several sources, but I have one particular source who, let me just phrase it this way, used to work in the Mandalay Bay Hotel, which is owned by the MGM conglomerate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He used to work there. All right. I got information. I'm getting information. Guess how many Muslims work in the Mandalay Bay Hotel? I'll tell you.
Probably over 100.
Over 120. That's the guess. A reasonable guess. They're very close. How many of those people do you think, what percentage might be radicalized?
Probably a lot of them, for sure, in this society.
Now, one of the biggest hoteliers in Las Vegas let slip a year and a half ago that all the major hotels at their main entrances, and probably most all the entrances, have X-ray backscatter machines hidden on either side of the doors. They can tell how much change is in your pants pocket or how many lipstick cases are in a woman's purse. As they walk in and walk out. They don't tell people that. He let it out. That's the truth. They already have this kind of security. There won't be many calls to put it in because it's already there. Now, how many guns did this guy supposedly lug up to that room on the 32nd floor? First it was 11, now it's 27. And we're to believe that he took 27 rifles a few handguns, up to the 27th floor suite, all that steel, somehow through these X-ray backscatter devices and other sensing devices, not to mention cameras, every other foot in the damn hotel, and got them into that room. Plus 4,000 rounds. You ever picked up 4,000 rounds of ammunition? It ain't light, folks. So he supposedly took all this up there. All right, let's just assume the rifles were there. The pictures show they were there. I don't know that he took them up there. They're telling us he did. Maybe somebody else took them up there as props, maybe to use some of them, right? Now, last thing, this is really important. I guarantee you that the shooters involved could not get in or out of that hotel without help from their Muslim brethren. Get it? Inside
very, very,
job.
Very possible. In fact, it seems probable from what you're saying. I mean, the evidence is there. I would like to go over with you and with the audience what we got to look at is the underlying motive to all this. And there's a lot of motives, I think, that go along with this. First off, like I've said, whatever his role was in the shooting, whether he was active part of it or whether he was not, the targets, again, were European Christians. And if they were trying to make a point, they made that point. In fact, to show you how much hatred is going on against white people in this country by this Jewish establishment, the perfect example is by CBS. A CBS executive, all right, her name is, in fact, they got the name right in front of me. Her name is Haley Geftman Gold, very Jewish individual.
Geftman. Hyphen Gold. She's a tribe, tribal
that's
member.
Right. Geftman Hyphen Gold. She actually boasted. She was happy about it. She said these people have. There's no sympathy for these poor victims, men. You know, these white people out there. She said it's amazing because actually they wouldn't do anything when children were murdered by the pugs or something like that. She's just vicious. She couldn't even restrain herself. And CBS, by the way, is run by Mr. Moonves, who is the nephew of none other than Ben Gurion of Israel, right?
Wow.
And I mean, that's a fact. And of course, CNN has been pushing the Black Lives Matter scenario and the evil white people and how, you know, how we've got to shut down freedom of speech for European Americans and all the rest of it. So obviously after what she did, she was fired. Well, I guess she had to expect that in a sense, but she couldn't restrain her hatred against European Americans and to say that, you know, here these are just a country western concert. They were just an hour before singing this beautiful rendition of God Bless America and thousands. They had 22,000 people and they were waving their lit cell phones, you know, in the air. It was really amazing. And that's when, right after that's when the shooting erupted, right? I mean, you can see that there's a racial animus to this whole thing. It's even expressed by a CBS executive who couldn't even restrain herself because she was so much full of hate, you know, so much full of evil, really, by these people. Now, secondly, we have to look at this for two reasons. One is they got, you know, they really kind of showed their power against us, to intimidate us, maybe to stop us from meeting and gathering. They've been doing that with the Antifa, which the government's been supporting, the Congress of the United States supported. And now this event is going to be used as an excuse to take away our right to have guns to protect ourselves and our families from the mob rule that's coming in this country, from this gulag kind of a communist repression that's coming into America. Already freedom of speech is something of the past now on university campuses and in public. We saw that at Charlottesville. The people came there illegally and represented themselves without violence, who were attacked by the communists. They were blamed for all the violence, even though they don't go to any of these other gatherings. But they're using this, obviously, as an excuse to disarm us, because that's the last step, isn't it, Jeff? Isn't the last step for the people who control
the media, control
the government, to say, oh, my God, the European American people, you know, who are opposed to this process, who are on the side of people like Trump, or at least Trump's program. We don't know what Trump's going to do with the program. He seems to be a hostage president right now. I'd like to talk some about his tax proposals, which is so terrible, in the next half of the show, and explain how this is a goy tax. They got a goy tax.
That's a great and honest name for it.
This is a goy tax, and a Jewish exemption is from taxes is what this thing is. I got the figures from a absolutely unbiased, nonpartisan group that just does the economics of the tax proposal. 80% of the money saved, 80% of the money saved will be saved. 80% of the money of the tax break, all the money given out in this tax break, is from, believe it or not, the top 1% richest people in America. And who do you think that is disproportionately? You know, that's that's not the goy.
That's right.
You know, there's some goy in there that go along with them, but that's really the Hollywood producers and directors, that's the media executives, that's the big international corporations that are absolutely stealing and destroying. They're discriminating against European Americans in hiring. They're promoting programs like trade policies that take away American jobs and the well-being of our people. The media that's brainwashing our people, making us sick. These are the people that get the tax break. Working people are going to end up paying more in this thing. Of course, at the other end of the spectrum, the welfare recipients, and that's where the first, even if they increase the so-called tax credit, They're going to be going without any taxes. They're going to be big fat checks for the government where they can go buy some more of their guns and some more of their mayhem. But the middle class, the people making between 40 and 90, well, 50,000 really and 90, which is really the heart of the American middle class, and maybe 100,000 these days. That's the way costs are. And many of them have to pay to send their kids to private school. They're not going to get anything. In fact, the most optimistic prediction of this is that they're going to get they're going to save $600 a year, but they're really not, because they're also going to take away the deduction. So when you pay a high state tax like you do in California, or we do in Louisiana, or in many states, that they can't even deduct that anymore. They're going to be paying a lot more. Whereas the fact is that the top 0.1% of America is going to save an average of more than $650,000. So they're going to pay $650,000 less. And the working people of this country, the middle class, who are trying to send their kids to private school where they'll get a decent, more Christian education and not being with a bunch of troglodyte and gangster rappers, right? They're absolutely going to end up paying more, and their life's going to be even harder to deal with in our society. This is part of this war. There is a race war raging right now against white people in America, and it's a race war that's not being led actually by the blacks or the Mexicans. It's really being led by these Jewish Zionists, you know, ultra supremacists, who are doing this to install a tyranny over us because they're afraid that the goyim is getting a little bit too restless in this country.
Okay. The goy tax, this is interesting. I'll never forget, and no one else seems to talk about this, although I'm sure many of you remember it. In one of his campaign speeches, Donald Trump said, any couple earning $50,000 or less will pay no more income tax under my plan. Never another word about that. That would have put so much more money into this economy immediately. Discretion. Is the key. Income that can be spent, revitalized businesses, we need it. And a lot of it's going to go to Amazon. I know that. I ran a very good story about that last week. Amazon is going to be far bigger than it is already. Just count on that. But discretionary income is the key. So you got to cut taxes. They're not doing that, David, as you just pointed out.
Right, and by the way, $50,000—that's a little dated, isn't it, Jeff?
Yes,
because
it is.
$50,000 might have been some money a few years ago. It's pretty hard to raise a family in our modern society, where European Americans have to escape from these cities. They end up having to have a lot of money in gas and transportation to get around. Many European Americans can't send their kids to the public schools, which they pay for with their taxes, so they're saddled with incredible debt. And the truth is that the really productive middle class, the family now has an average income that's actually quite more than that. There's a lot of people between 50 and 100,000. It's still hard for them to have a decent life for their kids. But the interesting thing is, in terms of the tax credit, the first 24,000 is going to go from 12 to 24. What it's going to be is for the welfare recipients, so those that work very, very little and don't work much, they're going to get a big fat check paid for by the hard working people of this country.
You bet.
Like always. And by the way, who's the author of this entire tax package? The guy that's behind it, he's the guy that goes on television promoting it and promoting it. His name is Gary Kahn.
Sure
Cohen.
It is.
That's a form of the Cohen. It's another
that's
coincidence.
Right.
And Goldman Sachs and corporations like that that control our politics, the biggest single corporate contributor to presidential candidates in this country is Goldman Sachs for the last 40 years, both Republicans and Democrats. They're going to get huge tax benefits.
Right.
And all these international corporations, and by the way, this is not going to make it easier for a corporation to stay in the United States of America. If you wanted to keep a corporation from moving their plants overseas, all you do is basically penalize them, right? You make them pay higher taxes, right? If they do bring their operations overseas, it's as simple as that. So this is not preventing them. In fact, they're going to get this big tax break, even though a lot of these corporations now are getting huge amounts of money because of the slave labor they're using overseas, which is also stabbing our own workers in the back. Gary Cohn, Goldman Sachs, the biggest predator bank on the planet,
right,
is the guy, Gary Cohn, who was the co-head of Goldman Sachs. He is the author of this
unbelievable
tax bill.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Yes, it's more than unbelievable.
Hi, David. My question is, honestly, how much more abuse and parasitization and vampirism can the American middle class take before it just crumbles into the lower class?
Well, that's what we're having, of course. It's not just America, it's Europe too. We're losing the middle class. We're becoming like a third world country. You have a very small elite that's got a lot of money. Very powerful, that control the politics, that control the media, that, you know, they become, in effect, the big brother of the modern age, as Orwell would say. And you have the hardworking people, the people that are trying to be responsible, pay their taxes, obey the law. The European-American people, they're just getting absolute – it's always they're the ones that are being squeezed. And so we're losing the middle class in this country. But that is how you create – a communist revolution in the name of social justice. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of what Bernie Sanders says is right? But Bernie Sanders is a Jewish supremacist. He's a guy that went to a kibbutz in Israel. He's a Bolshevik. And the Bolshevik, these Jewish Bolsheviks who ran Bolshevism in Russia, as I've studied, I've lived in Russia for five years.
Yep.
And the Bolsheviks in Russia, the Jewish Bolsheviks, they didn't bring social justice. They didn't bring income equality. They didn't bring freedom. No, they took away the homes that people built, the farms they built, the businesses they built. They put them into the street. They tortured them. They put people in gulags. They destroyed all freedom. And that's exactly where we're headed right now until we recognize the fact that this is a race war against us, and the race that's doing this war against our people, our European people, the people who built and made Western civilization great, are a race called Jews who define themselves as a race and as a tribe.
That's their word.
And as an ethno-state of Israel.
That's right.
And that's what's really that's the core thing. And that nobody speaks as, you know, straight as really as I do about it. But until we start to speak straight and recognize what's really going on here, there's no way we're going to solve these problems, because that is the reason why we're facing this terrible destruction, including this massacre that occurred in Las Vegas, a horrific massacre which has to wrench the heart of any American, of any true American.
When I was a kid, and in fact, through many years as a professional journalist in television and then radio, You couldn't say the word Jew without worrying. It was a word that you weren't allowed to say. You weren't allowed to speak it. You know this better than anyone. You couldn't say Jew. You could say Catholic, Protestant, Black, Brown. You could say Chinese, sure. But you couldn't say Jew. It was sacred. You didn't dare say it because you might offend them because what happened in the alleged Holocaust. Now, at least, we've made the progress to the extent that we can say and speak fairly, equitably, honestly about Jews. They didn't like that, but now they're used to it. So welcome
now
to the club of reality.
Now they're shutting down freedom
of speech. And they are. That's their reaction to it.
And by the way, the one reason why they couldn't do that, if you really identified Jews readily, the problem is that so many of these Jewish leaders have been involved in so much corruption, the warmongering, the lies about, say, the Iraq war, the warmongering that created the First World War, the Second World War, these insane wars in the Middle East. The support of ISIS has come entirely, almost entirely, from the Jewish neocons, which used ISIS as a means to attack their enemies, Israel, for instance, and Syria, and even the Russians when they were trying to put on, when they were trying to take back over the Russian government after the Russians had overthrown the Jewish power in Russia. And after the Second World War, they had to get that back, and that's why they supported bin Laden. I mean, our government, which was controlled by this Jewish neocon, supported this radical jihadist terrorist, and the Israel has openly supported the ISIS people and Al-Qaeda, same Al-Qaeda that, you know, which even the media itself says is responsible for 9/11.
David,
they supported the same group because that was an advantage of their issue. And they're using the terrorism of Al-Qaeda and the terrorism of ISIS around the world as a method to do what, Jeff? To suppress our freedom. So in the name of suppressing this terrorist threat, which wouldn't even be here except for the massive immigration, without the massive immigration of the Middle East, they couldn't get away with any of this because people would see. I mean, they could be watched easier, right? Because there'd be so few people of a very different makeup in the country. So the terrorism is not possible except for immigration. But with the terrorism, they use that as an excuse to shut down free speech. France is now, and this is also supported by the entire Jewish community, they are now supporting, in fact, here there's two things going on. France is adopting new laws that even if you have a website, even if you go to a website, the supposed terrorist, just look and see what they say, you can go to jail. And Britain now is trying to pass a law that if you go to any site deemed terrorist, and by the way, they said any site deemed radical or whatever, they can put you in prison for 15 years just for visiting and reading a website.
How can that be in this day and age? How can
that? I know. There's no objection to this. No,
I haven't seen one negative commentary about it. People just go, okay, that's the way it's going to be. How can that be?
Well, I mean, imagine what's going on here. And by the way, they're using these laws. You can get ISIS stuff all over the internet. You can get radical leftist stuff, you know, promoting and kind of cheering this massacre of country and Western people. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of tweets. I've repeated them on my Twitter account of many of these tweets all over the internet about how that these people deserved it, and this is what white people do. White people are we got to get rid of white people because see what white people do?
Right.
Because the alleged shooter was a white person. You know, it doesn't matter whether he was a communist or whether he was a anti-white hater like the guy in Washington. No, it's because he's white people. And by the way, a good argument about the whole gun problem is this. Since 1992, here's the actual facts, Jeff, and I think your people should really know this. Since 1992, when people saw this increasing the violence in our cities and the need to protect their families, people went out and bought guns, and there was a 50% increase in gun ownership from 1992 to the present. Mm-hmm. 1992, by the way, is the year I ran for president of Republican primaries. 50% increase. But guess what? You know the murders in America have gone down by 50%.
That is a
in that
perfect
same period
example.
49%. It's 50% and 49%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The idea that guns cause murder is ridiculous. The truth is, I would argue that because more people have guns and can protect themselves with guns in most situations. And by the way, killings like this are a tiny, tiny, tiny percent of the murder rate. You're much more likely, you and your family is much more likely to be killed by some carjacker or something in a Walmart parking lot.
Well, David, how about, and I say this every time, but how about 45,000 Americans slaughtered on America's roads and highways every year, dead? Dead.
Yeah,
3 million injured.
Ban cars for sure.
Dead. Well, that's the logic, isn't it?
Well, you know, dead. Another thing too that I hope we go into in the last little part of the show in this very, very vital issue is that there are a lot of crazies and there are a lot of people who go out and murder and commit horrible tortures and murders and child tortures and child abuse and pedophilia and all the rest of it in our society. And we know there's been an absolutely exponential increase in that. And we know that it's not because of guns. When I was a child, when I was 11 years old, I was given money from my grandfather with the permission and encouragement of my parents to go out. And for my 11th birthday, they gave me money for a .22 rifle. They already taught me. They knew I was going to be respectful.
Sure.
I went down to the gun store and bought my rifle, 11 years old. There wasn't even an age limit on that. There was no registration of guns. But you know what, Jeff? I didn't go in any schools and blow people away. Nobody did.
No, none of us did. We all had 22s. We had 12 gauge. We had my first gun was a 410 shotgun.
Of course we did. Yeah. And you could buy buy M1s and all kinds of assault rifles in the mail if you wanted to, no registration whatsoever. But nobody did that kind of thing. So what's changed? And I'll tell you what's changed, folks. Just think about it. What's changed is a disgusting, evil, vile, degenerate Hollywood media that electrifies things like torture, shows torture scenes, long torture scenes, like in that popular series Game of Thrones, like in the Blacklist, like in the 24, these normal television programs where they use torture and sadism to try to entice people in. And this makes a lot of people sick. They have what's called torture porn by Mr. Roth. You know, again, just like the pornography industry is Jewish controlled, torture porn is controlled by Jews, where
torture
they associate
porn.
Young kids with sexual pleasure, basically, uh-huh. and torture or uh-huh. being tortured, sadism or masochism. We have a situation in the media. We have also torture being presented as justified. If a person believes the person is evil, well, let me tell you something. Every kid and every person has met people in their life that you thought were pretty doggone evil, you know. But if the idea is there and you say that if someone is supposedly evil, therefore you've got a right to torture him, gouge his eyes out or slowly torture him or cut off his genitals or something. If you do this, all right. Then basically you're changing the values of the country and you're going to lead these unbalanced people, which are really unbalanced to a great degree by the culture we're living in, this sick Hollywood culture. You're going to cause those people, when they have a chance, if they get mad at the people in schools, they're going to think that they got a right to blow their teachers away and blow their friends away. And
yes,
they have a right.
That's coming. More of that will be happening.
Well, of course it is. And this is the change. The change isn't because we have more guns. Actually, we have less murders than we did before. But we've got more mass murders and more of what we call these incredible, just disgusting, horrific crimes like this, just genocidal type crimes. We've got far more of that. And that's because the culture has changed. And one more thing. We talked earlier about the football situation, and we had a white quarterback named Carr, very Christian. He wouldn't kneel for the Star Spangled Banner. All the black players, you know, they wouldn't stand up for the Star Spangled Banner. And then the evidence is it's overwhelming that he was targeted. His own players on his football team, the Raiders, I think it is, they actually gave him up. In fact, the usual
they let him get beat to hell is what happened.
Threw the ball in a way that the guy couldn't catch it two or three times in a row.
He hiked the ball off count four times. That's what I read.
Yeah. And obviously they didn't really protect the quarterback because this guy was hardly even sacked the entire year last year. And
you know what's going to happen? You know what should happen?
This was payback.
Hey, I'm going to get in trouble with this, but if these people, and most of them, unfortunately, are African-American, if they can't get their act together and understand that they're being paid, they're an employee, and they have to follow the rules of employer-employee, they should be let go or suspended. And what will happen? There'll be people who will come into the NFL who have skill and talent, maybe not quite as much, who will understand that, and they will stand and be respectful to the country they live in. So we'll have a big changeover in personnel. I don't know. This is going to end up in the courts, I have a feeling, because a lot of these guys are being overpaid by 200 times. But in, you know, in the 1950s, and I'm not proud of this, it just is a fact, the NFL in the early 50s was 97% white, was Caucasian. And the blacks got in, they made their way in, they earned their way in with their athletic skill and prowess. And now look what we have. We treat these people, mostly blacks, some whites, like they're some kind of prima donna, a prince.
And they're a bunch
king.
Of thugs. You know, the murder rate, the drug rate, the assault rate, the rape rate of these black players, all right, is many, many times higher than average people, yet they got an average salary of $2 million a year. And by the way, to show you example of how the media is so controlled, the Jewish-controlled media is so brainwashing people, even the right wing, supposed right wing, the Republicans as well as Democrats, everybody fell over each other, including the Fox News, to say that, oh, this wasn't a, it's not a race issue. This wasn't a race issue. So whites, almost every white stood up and respected the flag and our heritage, and blacks disrespected the flag. But it wasn't a race issue. Oh, no, no, no. It had nothing to do with race at all. That, I mean, this, of course, it is a race issue.
Oh, man.
It's all a race issue.
It's all a race issue.
And right. when the demographics of the country, I've got a tape, in fact, by, none other than Alex Jones, where he gets up and he talks about the fact that he doesn't care if the country's 80% brown, as long as they respect the Constitution and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't care if the country's 80% brown. Well, you know, Mr. Jones or anybody else that believes that, you're insane, because they're not going to respect the Constitution. They don't feel like it's not part of their heritage. They don't love the Constitution. They don't love our freedom of speech. And they feel like that they're newcomers, and the only way they can get their hands on the American pie is to take it away.
That's true.
From the white people that built the country to begin with.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, the sad thing is that as far as a component of our culture, white Americans tend to be, without question, the most generous, kind, and giving in the aggregate of any racial group or cultural
sure.
group. It's just traditional. And that is a recognized fact, to the extent that it is abused and misused. And look at Europe. How many of these idiot whites were walking up to these? They're not legitimate refugees. They're political invaders holding up signs. Welcome, refugee. Refugees, welcome here. And now look at the price they've paid. Raped into oblivion, some of them.
Let's see if I got that recording of Alex, just so your listeners can hear it. Let me see if I can play this for you.
CIA officer Valerie.
No, that's not it. Just a second.
Dr. Silverstein.
Nope, that's not it. Well, I couldn't get that right ahead. I'm sorry about that. But, yeah, I've got him on there saying it. He doesn't care if the country's 80% brown, as long as they respect the Constitution. Well, the point is they're not going to respect it. And anybody that believes we're going to have a demographic change
right.
and we're going to preserve our Constitution or anything that we really believe in is just – they're insane. I mean, because we see the voting patterns. In fact, people here from Mexico and other nations like that are absolutely – they're more leftist, more radical leftists in the second and third generations than there are in even the first generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all true. Tell me what are you hearing out there among your community, your people, our people who are caring about this country? What are they saying? Do they feel like they have any chance with Trump at all, or are they giving up?
Well,
most of them?
here's the thing: we've got to be sober about this and think about what's going on the balance. Trump has been a ray of light for us in many ways, because Trump voiced a lot of the issues, and he brought to the surface the issues on the immigration issue. I mean, well, you can't even imagine Hillary Clinton saying what Trump said about the NFL. She'd have been on the side of the people taking the knee, and that was pretty brave thing. So it's like he's not necessarily doing the things we want him to do on every level. Absolutely not. In fact, he's betrayed us on a whole bunch of things, bombing the Syrians on this tax proposal.
Oh, so, go on and on. Yeah.
But at the same time, there's no question that if Clinton would have gotten in, my God, they had already flooded the country probably with 5 or 6 million more illegals, you know, and aliens. She would have made ICE and all the immigration authorities stand down and just let them in.
Right.
I mean, it would have been a Camp of the Saints scenario, a great book by Jean Raspail, the great French writer. If anybody's ever got a chance to read that book, it's a fantastic book called Camp of the Saints by Jean Raspail. And it's about a so-called last chance armada coming to Europe. He wrote this book back in the 70s and 80s, and it was a science fiction book about how that the Third World was going to invade Europe and that the Europeans were just going to stand by and let them do it, where they just got totally wiped out and the whole civilization would be totally subsumed and destroyed by these Third Worlders. And that's what's happening. We got 2.5 million new black babies being born in this world in Africa, North Africa, in the next 20, 30 years. And guess what? They're a billion. They're all coming to Europe. We're not talking about a multiracial or even a diverse multiracial or multiethnic society. We're talking about basically the destruction, complete destruction of the European people, the wiping out of our people off the planet. And that's what this immigration is about. It is not about anything other than the ethnic cleansing, the ethnic destruction of white people. And this is the old revenge plan for a long time by these Jewish supremacists. And you can see it. They've been writing about it. They led the efforts against restrictionist immigration back in the 1920s. And ever since then, they've been the driving force behind it. They've been the driving force behind media that's told European Americans to hate themselves. And unless you recognize that fact and we work hard and we overthrow this tyranny, this Zio tyranny that rules us, this Ziogarchy that rules us, we have no chance of survival. And that's the issue that I want to talk about. Right. And that's where the issue I urge all your listeners to get involved. My show comes on, as you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning, Central Time, or 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Tune us in and you'll hear a lot of great truth. And we appreciate everybody's support. My website, again, is davidduke.com. And Jeff, thank you for your great work. And thank you for your fantastic journalistic research on what happened in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
you've always been so valuable in that realm. You've always been able to research it. Figure out what's really going on.
Thank you, David. I'm extremely proud of you and the way you present the information, the truth that you dig up and have dug up for so many years. There's just no arguing it. It is what it is, and you put it out there. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Dr. David Duke, and truly, when people hear him after being brainwashed by the media, they're shocked. I mean, here's a man who is articulate, brilliant, he understands history, he tells it like it is. Straight. Supposedly what the First Amendment is all about, isn't it? Be right back.